It is our privilege, our pleasure, to have Don do the message today for this special day. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor. I got to share with you a change in my ministry. Preaching after 50 years, I want to change a little bit. I'm not going to tell you the text. Going to tell you the text. You're going to know it. That's my job today, so that you will know the text. Does anybody know what an epitaph is? Epitaph, that's a thing that's written on a grave. And it usually is something that somebody said or part of their life or something like that. I've been to cemeteries many times. I went on the internet to see if there were any that I liked. This is what I found. Number one, our hearts delayed in sadness and secret tears still flow. What it meant to love you, no one will ever know. Isn't that wonderful? Another one, if tears could build a stairway and memories a lane, I'd walk right up to heaven and bring you home again. This is one that I'm sure Dean remembers. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear pulling on my ear, the Son of God is closest. Have you sung that? Of course you have. How about this one? No farewell words were spoken, no time to say goodbye. You were gone before we knew it, and only God knows why. I like this one. Your wings were ready, and my heart was not. Here's a good one. Remember me with smiles. Here's another one. Thank you. Legs don't hold up like these. Here's another one. Here's a relationship between a father and a son. I just love this one. My father kept a garden in his heart. He planted all the good things that gave my life its start. I am my father's garden. I am his legacy. I hope today the love he feels reflected back from me. That's a father and son. Here's another one. Those whom we hold in our arms for a while, we hold in our hearts forever. And this is my favorite one. I told you I was sick. Now, that's what people who die. What if there was a guy who was murdered unjustly? Let's say there was a guy who was dumped in a borrowed grave. Let's say that the guy kicked the hell out of that door and rose. What would he say to us this day? It's written in Matthew's gospel. The situation is this. Jesus rose from the dead, spent 40 days with his disciples, and he says, come with me. He walked outside Jerusalem to a place called Bethany, and he turns around and he looks at him. There's Peter and his brother James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, there's Thomas the Doubter, Matthew the Tax Collector, James the son of Alphaeus, Simeon the Zealot, Lady is called Judith, all loving up and standing there. This is what our Lord tells those 11 people. Go! Make disciples of all nations.
baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, to the close of the age. Did you hear what he told us to do? He told us to go. Go! The work of God means for us to go.
Go where?
To people. Go to people. Knock on people's door. And I'll tell you what's the problem with this. We don't want to do that. We don't want to knock on people's door. We don't want. We're afraid they might not. You know what? I told you this before. The sword goes out to sow the seed. Does every seed fall on good ground? Absolutely not. You got to get used to people telling you to go to hell. You really do. You got to get used to people telling you, I don't believe in that. You got to get used to that. It just is the way it is. But you've got to keep that energy strong, going out and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. And I told you one time, I get most of my sermons from people. You know that. That is called the Great Commission. It's called the Great Commission. Go into all churches, do it. I've preached a lot, but I revamped that a little bit. I don't consider it the Great Commission, although it is. You know what I call it? I call it the 11th commandment. Go! What does it mean? Go! It's a short version of what it means. Go. We have to go and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. That's our work. There's no other work for a Christian to do. It has always been the work of everyone who names the name of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Go! Go and share that gospel at any cost. Now, I remember a guy in my congregation. I loved him dearly. But he had a problem. You know, it was called smoking. His wife tried to get him to stop. His mother and father tried to get him to stop. His brothers tried to get him to stop. One day, his 8-year-old son climbed up into his lap and hugged him and said, Daddy, I love you so much. But Mommy tells me you're going to die. I said, what? You're going to die because you're smoking. And we hit him like a brick, you know what? He put the kid down, went out in the kitchen, looked his wife in the eye and said, this is the day I quit. And crumbled him up, and it was a true story. Why? That little boy had the nerve to tell his father what everybody else did, but it didn't work. We are effective in people's lives. We're Christian. We should be. You know, we're saved by the grace of God. You know what that means? We have the right to go into the world and the people's hearts and lives, regardless if they want to hear it or not. We have the right to do it. Now, I got to go to these here things. When I came to my congregation back in 1969, there was a gal in my parish. She had five kids. Five kids. I can name them, but I'm not going to bore them. Every Sunday morning, she'd dress those kids up, put them in the car, and go off to church. The kids were confirmed. They were in Sunday school all the time. Husband never was asked. I came on the scene in 1969. It was about 1970, early part of 70. He had to go to the hospital. And his loving wife wants the pastor to do some work. Would you want to see my husband? Of course I did. Never met this guy in a good amount of college. Went to Mercy Hospital, found out what went in, introduced myself. Sat down there and I said, well, how are things going? Oh, I got this kid, he's talking about that. And then all of a sudden he started to cry. I said, well, you know, I'm here to pray for you. You know, and we hope that everything will come out. He said, kidney stones, they're not too bad. You know, I've never had one, but I've heard that you'll get through it. I'm not worried about that. He said, so what are you worried about? He said, every Sunday, my wife gets up. She gets dolled up. She gets all five of my kids ready. Goes out the front door, and she's never asked me once to go to church. You know what I do when she's gone? I don't know. I'm not there. I go to my Bible and I read it.
I read my Bible every time she's in church. I want to go, but she's never asked. I said, listen here, brother. I'm here and I'm asking you in the name of Jesus. And then he whispered, he says, I've never been baptized. He goes, whack. And I baptized that guy. And I want you to know, that guy is still in my life this holy day. This holy day. Only because. Third example. There's this gal in my parish. She and her husband. I got them to come because we went to a. I can't remember what it was. Doesn't matter. But anyway, his wife died. She had a brain aneurysm. Laid in the hospital for 14 months. 14 months. I'm bragging a little bit. I went to see her every day except 5 days in 14 months. One of the days I didn't go, her son was married in our church, and I said, Doug, go see your mother with your new bride. 14 months later, she died. And remember, it was on our anniversary, August 20th. What year, I don't know. I buried that Patty, and as we're walking back to the church, I said, Bob, I want to take you out for breakfast next week sometime. Not on Monday, because that's my day off. We sat in a restaurant on Tuesday. Remember, I buried her, his wife, on Friday, and on Tuesday I'm in a restaurant. We're talking back and forth. And I said to him, I said, Bob, did you ever think about dating? Remember, I buried his wife on Friday. This is on Tuesday. He said, Pastor, you just buried my wife. I said, I know that. I said, God never gave me the power to bring her back to you. I don't have that power. But I got the next day. I don't have the past. I got the next day. Did you ever think about dating? He said, I'll think about it. I'll think for you. I said, I got a gal right for you. Oh, no, don't say that. Listen, I'm your pastor. Do you think I'd give you somebody else? No. So I'll think about it. I said, you're not thinking about it. So I got to go down to Georgia to see my sister. I said, what's a good close day? The closest date I would go would be the 11th of November. You're on tap. I went home. Now, this is like August. I called my friend up. Sandy. I said, Sandy, you got a date on the 11th of November. Clear it. That was it. October, November comes. Finally, the 11th of November comes. Bob shows up. Gets out of his car and says to me, Pastor, I don't like doing this. I did want to come here. And then he said these words, but I know how mad you get. I said, get in the car. So we go on and we pick up. We go out for a wonderful, wonderful spaghetti dinner. And I want to tell you what this is a true story. This is a true story. That same day, my wife and I had a new mattress delivered to our house. So, to break the thing, I said to them, I can't wait till this evening's over so we can go home and use our new mattress. She said to me, Pastor, it's been 14 years. And he said, it's been about 14 months for me too. And you know where that went. A year after that, they were married and had 25 years together. Why? Because you go and preach the gospel. I want to tell you why I went there for 14 months without faith. I knew Bob had a, you know what that means? I was not going to surrender him to Satan. I put too much time in that family to let Satan rob him. And I even told him. As a pastor, I meet pastors. You understand that? I had a pastor who loved writing sermons. And I remember him taking me by the hand. We went over to his filing cabinet. He whipped it out. And he says, I've written every sermon. And he had a catalog. And you know what he always did the thing? He would send those written sermons to all the kids in college. I thought that was pretty good. And they read them. But he loved writing sermons. That's all he liked to do was write sermons. And they were great ones. He didn't go out visiting. He missed
philosophy was this: I'm the shepherd. They're the sheep. Sheep make sheep. Shepherds don't. I had another pastor friend of mine who hated writing sermons. And at lunch, you know what he did? He got all his pastors together, and we'd write one sermon and preach it in six different churches at lunch. Because he didn't like writing sermons. He was a great golfer, so you know what that story was all about. Now I'm going to ask you the question. Which one of those pastors was correct in doing ministry? You can't answer it, can you? You know why? You find out through the Bible. You don't ask them. You don't ask them which one's right and which one. You ask the scriptures. You ask the scripture. Now remember, did you ever hear Jesus preaching in the temple? Where do you find 5,000 people to feed them? In the temple? No. He was out amongst people. He was out amongst people. How about number two example? Have you ever heard of the person, Apostle Paul? He was a tent maker. You know what a tent maker is? He's making his own money, preaching the gospel, and doing mission work. You understand that? You get that? He was sewing tents, making a living, preaching the gospel, and doing mission work. How do we know he did mission work? Should I tell you why? Three missionary journeys in the Bible. He wasn't in the temple all the time. He was out there, what? Meeting and greeting people. The only way people are going through that door to this year is because of you. People don't knock on doors and say, "Hey, Pastor, I want to join the church." Never happened to me. All they do, you move out. You've got to do that. The other Saturday, Carol, remember Saturday? We were down at Cape Coral. And I'll let that go. We got to share the gospel with everybody. Now, which is the next one? When I retired 14 years ago, I asked the Lord that I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something for Him. Do you know what it is? Every time I see somebody with a cross, I'll go up. You know, we live in a senseless, silent society. Walk the streets and you're not going to see a person smile. You won't. You won't. Young people don't. They're fools. I have made it my... And I've done it all the time. I'll tell you one time I didn't, but that's another story. One time I was on the beach. I can't remember which one it was. This gentleman came out of the water. He looked like Goliath. I never met Goliath. And on his neck was a cross. I get out of my chair and I run up to him. I say, "Hey, buddy! What?" "I love your cross." He said, "My grandmother put that around my neck 60 years ago and it's never left." I loved it. Getting back to my wife and I. We were down in Cape Coral. And it's Sandy, Joe, Carolyn, and me. And I'm sitting in this position. Right between Joe and Sandy at another table, there's a woman that has a cross on her. I don't know her. If she walked through the door, I wouldn't even know her. But she had a cross on her. Lord said, "Remember what you told me you're going to do?" I remember that. So we ate it. Joe goes, Sandy goes, Carolyn goes, and I'm not going. I walk right over to that guy. In among the fences, "You got a wonderful wife." "How do you know?" I said, "The cross." "Oh yeah, we go to church all the time, where are we?" Big smile on his face. Big smile. I didn't know him from anything. I walked away. Every person I've ever done that to, without an exception to the rule, I'm telling you the gospel, you understand? Every person I've commented about them wearing the gospel, Jesus Christ, every one of them will smile. And they will also say, "Thank you." Isn't that remarkable? And I say, and especially young people, you get a young person who's wearing a cross, you're going to push his button. You know, "Hey, buddy, I like your cross. Oh, I love it too. Thanks for mentioning it." Now, I come. presence of my grandson. I have a grandson, Tanner. And he used to have beautiful, beautiful hair, something like I don't have. And he had it all shaved off of it. And then he said to me, Grandpa, do you like it? I have to say yes. Years ago, Tanner called me up. And he said, Abba, my birthday's coming up. I want you to get me something. When a kid wants something for their birthday, you know what comes in your mind? Dollars. You understand? Not 10, 20, 30. Not the kids of today. It's maybe your Social Security check. Or more. Over the phone, he said to me, Papa, buy a cross for me. I said, what? I want a cross. I said, why? I want a cross. I said, Tanner, people are you're going to be a target. I don't care. Now, I never had the opportunity to share that physically with my Tanner. But I have a substitute today. Alex, would you come here, please? See how he's smiling?
I love embarrassing young people. I really do. You know what I used to do with young people his age? When they were in my confirmation class, I'd go up and kiss them on Sunday. They hated it. They hated it.
Okay, Alex, you're going to be my grandson, Tanner. I love him dearly. And I love you too. And I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. You love Jesus. You're not here because you want to be here. You're because the Holy Spirit is with you. Do you understand all of you guys? No, you're not here because you want to be. You're here because the Holy Spirit touched me. You know, you got up this morning, you had aches and pains, the Holy Spirit, heck of that, did your discharge. I want to do something for you as I would do for my own. I have a cross here. I have a cross. I learned something. I'll tell you that in a few minutes. But I want you to receive this cross. And I want to tell you, I don't know. Don't think this is going to be easy for you. It's not. Being a Christian is not easy. And I'm going to tell you what. You ever hear about the first congregation? You ever hear about the first congregation? The 12 disciples throw Judas out. Every one of them died a heinous way. Read it on the internet. Upside down, darts in their heart, neck cut off, you name it. The first church, sacrament, you and I, the least we could get is lethal injection. That's what. But anyway, I wouldn't put this on you. I got careful. If I could do this, I can do it. I want to do this here because I love you. And I learned something doing this. I got this. I did not know there's a jewelry out there that makes these things for men. And you know what's on that cross? I can do all things. It's engraved in there. I saw it. Yes, read it. I can do all things. And it's put on, it's Philippians. You know, I love the word Philippians. Philippians 4, 3. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, listen. Somebody's going to come up and be able to have it. Put a smile on your face with your hand. See, I told you. I'm here to preach the gospel. That world that wants you and me to go to heaven. Jesus Christ died on the cross for what? To give us eternal life. So when the world tells us to what? To go. Smile. And tell them what I used to tell them. And I used to tell people, I can't do that. Why? I said, my mother put a lot of money into me. And I went to the best colleges. I went to the best everything. I can't tell people to go to heaven. But I can't tell them to go to heaven. Yeah. Now, I want you to wear that cross. Just think about this moment. Just think about this moment. How beautiful it is in your life. You are going to be blessed by God forever. To all of these people. I want
to say something. Do I worry about grandma, salvation?
No.
Do I worry about your salvation?
No.
Bubbles, do I worry about your salvation?
No.
Carol, do I worry about?
Not you at all.
Do I worry about your salvation?
No.
You know whose salvation I worry about? Because the world is after you. Okay. We'll sit down. Wouldn't it be great? Now, I want to give you a cross. But you'll never have it. I'm going to give you a cross. I'm going to call it ordaining. I'm going to call it challenging. I'm going to call it a gift. I'm going to call it the anointing of the Holy Spirit on you. I want you to go out in this world. Whenever you see somebody wear a cross, I know it's going to be hard. At first time, it's like getting a new pair of shoes. They don't fit. Then they become the old ones. You don't want to get new ones. That's the way the gospel works. That first time to do something that you've never done before is going to be difficult. But you're going to do it. And I'm going to guarantee you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to feel like you've been anointed. You're going to feel like you've been bathed. You're going to understand, this is wonderful. It didn't cost me anything. A few words at the most. Sometimes you might even make a friend. And they'll say, they'll start talking. I'll tell you what happens many times. I like to talk, you probably don't. They'll want to out-talk a pastor. And you're standing there. Your wife is waiting for you someplace. And you're talking about this ever-loving, beloved Jesus Christ. And they talk on and on and on. I want you to have that. Now, remember I told you I wasn't going to tell you what my sermon was all about? Does anybody summarize my sermon today? Anybody know what my sermon is about?
Crow.
Whoa! Go!
In the name of Jesus, go.